Is it possible that Abraham Lincoln was a homosexual? That's the central premise of a new and controversial book titled The Intimate World of Abraham Lincoln. The author is C.A. Tripp, a psychologist and sex researcher who worked with Dr. Alfred Kinsey. Mr. Tripp wrote the best-selling The Homosexual Matrix in 1975 and finished the manuscript on Mr. Lincoln just before Mr. Tripp died in 2003. We want to talk with two eminent Lincoln scholars now who each have chapters in the book that react to Mr. Tripp's conclusions. Michael Chesson is a professor of history at the University of Massachusetts in Boston, who endorses the conclusion that Abraham Lincoln was possibly gay. He joins us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Mr. Chesson, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And Michael Burlingame is a retired professor of history at Connecticut College, who's working on a long-awaited multi-volume biography of Mr. Lincoln for the Johns Hopkins University Press. He disagrees. Mr. Burlingame joins us from Yale University in New Haven. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Let me get you both to maybe at the outset talk about something that you might share some agreement on. Some of the reviewers, and I've tried to catch up with all of them I could on this book, have said, in the end, what does it matter? Professor Burlingame?
That's a good question. If it were to shed light on an unanswered question or aspect of Lincoln's life, I think it would be a more pertinent question, but I don't think it does.
Professor Chesson?
Well, if it was true that Lincoln was bisexual, I think to start, it helps explain his terribly troubled marriage, and I'm convinced more than ever that it was a terribly troubled marriage, by rereading Professor Burlingame's The Inner World of Abraham Lincoln. His unease or awkwardness with young, available, single women was noted by virtually all of his contemporaries. And I think if he had a same-sex orientation, it might explain his many male friendships, the ease with which he made friends with men, and the fact that so many of them, including complete strangers, on more than one occasion rushed to help him, to lend him money, to encourage his career and support him in any way possible.
Well, let me follow up on a little. To point out the obvious, a lot of men are awkward around women.
That is certainly true, especially the intelligent ones or the very attractive ones.
Well, that's I think that's a point we can all agree on, those of us who are awkward around women. But I also wonder, I mean, look, he has the very face of America for many of us, one of the most beautiful faces in history. But when he was a young man, let's put it this way, he was not considered Tab Hunter.
He was also extremely tall, extremely socially awkward, and physically awkward, which made
Well, I call him a freak in my afterword. Ferndon says when he walked like a draft horse. He put one foot down and planted it solidly without flexing his foot. Then he put the other foot down. He walked like Frankenstein's monster.
Well, I think that's a bit strong, but there is a good argument to be made that he was quite awkward.
But also, I mean, that particular combination, awkward around women and having deep male friendships, I mean, is that necessarily a prescription for anything, Professor Chesson?
Well, if you combine that with his at least five documented sleeping arrangements with men that Tripp points out, and some of the language in letters, particularly to Joshua Speed, his longest-term bedmate, I think it does add up to something. And I think the Lincoln scholars that have ignored these relationships, that I'm sure most of them, at least the better researchers, are aware of, believe that there was a sexual aspect to some of these sleeping relationships.
Before I give Professor Burlingame a chance to step in, let me explain for those people who have just tuned in, when we say sleeping together, we might mean exactly sleeping together. We don't necessarily mean this is a euphemism, but in Lincoln's time, it was common for total strangers to share beds.
If they were transients, particularly in boarding houses, inns, rooming houses, yes. But for 4 years, almost 4 years in the case of Joshua Speed?
Professor Burlingame, let's get you to address some of this.
Well, the relationship with Joshua Speed, it seems to me, is not homoerotic. None of the letters that they exchanged, at least to my way of thinking, have a homoerotic overtone. I was once told by one of the leaders of the Log Cabin Republicans that that those letters between Lincoln and Speed showed that there was a homosexual relationship. And I said, well, I'd be willing to believe it if there were evidence, but I certainly don't see it in those letters.
What do you see in those letters?
A close friendship, deep concern for one another's well-being, but no homoerotic relationship. And the letters end, "Yours forever." And Dr. Tripp makes a big to-do about that. But Lincoln signed "Yours forever" to at least six other men with whom he was not alleged to have had a sexual relationship.
Captain Derrickson? Maybe we should explain the story, but Captain Derrickson was, I guess, head of the White House, what we would call now the White House Guard. Do you both agree that that Mr. Lincoln and the captain, my gosh, this sounds so irreverent, but were bedmates?
The Captain Derrickson story is, to my way of thinking, the most powerful piece of evidence that Dr. Tripp adduces. But the evidence for that is fairly shaky. We have one diary entry from the Civil War in which a woman reports a rumor that they were bedmates. And then well over two decades after the end of the war, we have a regimental history in which this is it's alleged that they were bedmates. But the history doesn't tell who the source is and gives no evidence to back it up.
Professor Chesson?
Well, all I can say is that some reviewers have asserted that they had separate beds or twin beds, and that there's no evidence for that either. The statements were that they shared a bed and that Lincoln even loaned the captain his nightshirt. And the fact that this occurred only when Mrs. Lincoln was out of town is also, I think, suggestive. Charles M. Derrickson had to bring a message to the soldier's home on one occasion, and he found Mr. and Mrs. Lincoln in bed together. So there is certainly evidence that Lincoln was not exclusively homosexual. He had four children, after all, by Mary Todd, but I still believe the evidence would lead a reasonable person to conclude that he was bisexual.
Both of you agree that the whole idea that Lincoln had a happy marriage is something that probably we should be beyond at this point.
I think that a same-sex orientation would probably have been at the root of what was wrong in the Lincoln's marriage, that something was missing.
And if there were no other explanation for why Lincoln's marriage was so woe-filled, that might be plausible. But I think there are plenty of other reasons for understanding why the Lincoln's marriage was so miserable. The early death of Lincoln's mother predisposed him to be somewhat skeptical and suspicious of women, that if you get too close to them, they will abandon you. And in the case of Mary Todd, her mother died when she was six, and Mary Todd felt abandoned by her father, needed a father figure to replace him, and then all the anger that she felt for her father got displaced onto Lincoln, driving him out of the house. He then responded by staying away as much as possible, which only made her angrier at him.
But of course, I mean, an unhappy marriage is something that's familiar to at least 50% of the people in the United States today.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. And I think that the story of the Lincoln marriage is one that has been inadequately told.
There are people who have expressed some hope that some documentation will stand up that convinces a great many people that Abraham Lincoln was homosexual, because they think it's important for that statement to be made in this modern world, that this most beloved, admired, and revered of Americans, really, was gay, and so what? At the same time, is that, let me ask you both, I mean, is that necessary? Can't gays admire and revere and learn from the life of Lincoln just like any other American, regardless of what he may or may not have been?
Well, I certainly think so. Yes, that you can admire and revere Lincoln without saying that he was gay, and that I'm gay, and therefore I can share some of the reflected glory.
I think it's a natural tendency for various groups to try to claim prominent people as their own. But Tripp was not a gay activist. Tripp was not out to out Lincoln. He was trying to understand Lincoln better. And certainly one's sexual orientation, I think, is at the very center or core essence of who and what you are and what you become.
Gentlemen, I want to thank you both very much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you for having us.
Professors Michael Chesson and Michael Burlingame both have contributed chapters to C.A. Tripp's new book, The Intimate World of Abraham Lincoln. To hear more from our interview with Michael Chesson and Michael Burlingame, you can come to our website, npr.org.